This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Welcome to Sports Saturday, the day after the fall high school football season kicked off. It took almost 2 years to get another fall season, and it was hot last night, but I know everyone who was involved was just happy to be out playing football in late August last night. We got a good show for you today, a big day of sports on the Tally Broadcasting Stations as a whole. Coming up on the program today, we're going to talk with Nokomis head coach Paul Watson. They rolled over Sullivan Ocala Valley last night, 54-0. They scored every time they had the ball, and they didn't allow a point. So I'm sure Paul Watson has something that he has to harp about, because, you know, you can't just say, hey, boys, you played the perfect game. So we'll see how happy Paul Watson is this morning after that dominating win in week one. We're also going to catch up with Hillsboro coach Joe Reed as the Toppers fell to Greenville last night 28-14, but the Toppers were in that ball game through most of the fourth quarter. So we'll get Joe Reed's thoughts on his opening game with the Toppers. We're also going to catch up with Southwestern head coach Pat Keith. Of course, the Piasaw Birds are 1-0. They got that 2-0 forfeit victory over Staunton, which I don't understand why you need a score with a forfeit, you know, 2-0. Why isn't it just a forfeit? Why does there need to be an arbitrary number assigned? But that's your 11. Who cares? They got the forfeit win. They will be playing, of course, next week for their season opener. So we will catch up with Piasaw Birds head coach Pat Keith. Also, North Mac head coach Patrick Bowman. Now, when Patrick said he would come on, I was anticipating he would be talking about his opening week game with Riverton. But of course, there were some quarantine, I guess, complications, I think is how it was phrased for North Mac. So that game, instead of being played last night, will be played tonight. So we will talk to Patrick Bowman about all of that. That is Sports Saturday here this morning on the 28th and final Saturday of August. Broadcast-wise, we will have Carlinville at Gibson City, Melvin Sibley. 2 o'clock kick live this afternoon, 1:45. And then tonight, Gillespie will be at Litchfield. 7 o'clock kick, live coverage underway at 6:45. Both high school games today will be on WQSMI FM 106.1 and streaming online at WQSMIRadio.com. But wait, there's more. The Fighting Illini begin today. They will host Nebraska as Brett Bielema gets underway with Illinois. 11 o'clock with the pregame on WAOX 105.3 The Ox and Cardinal Baseball from Pittsburgh, 5:10 with the pregame coverage on AM 1540, FM 106.9. And 92.9. Let's run down some scores from last night. There was only two games in the South Central Conference. We told you Greenville beat Hillsboro 28-14. Pena over Vandalia 46-26. In the Sangamo Conference, Marrero Forsyth beat Auburn 58-10. Williamsville, of course, after their game with Porta was canceled due to COVID, they found an opponent out of Wisconsin. They went up to LaSalle Peru High School in Northern Illinois, and Union Grove beat Williamsville 41-18. Athens over New Berlin 47-22, and Pleasant Plains topped Pittsfield 30-14 in Sangamo Conference football last night. Nokomis independent this year, and they are off to a ripping and roaring start. 54-0 the final last night in the win over Sullivan Ocala Valley, and head coach Paul Watson joins us on the phone. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Hey, I'm doing good. Probably not as good as you are. So I got to ask kind of a strange first question here, Paul. You scored every time you had the football on offense. You pitched a shutout. So what didn't you do well? Penalties? Miss a block? I don't know.
Really, I think we only had one penalty.
Wow.
So, but now that we got a lot of little things that we got to get fixed, a few assignments here or there, but yeah, overall, you know, it was a pretty good night.
I mean, you know, as a football coach, you just kind of anticipate, okay, every game, realistically, there's going to be several, you know, fairly significant things that we got to do. But like you said, minor tweaks in the opening week, you have to just be thrilled with the way your kids came out and executed.
Yeah, we were happy, like I said, though. I mean, we got a lot of little things we got to get corrected, especially going to next week against A&M. But, you know, the spring season helped us a lot, especially when we, you know, got a lot of kids coming back. So they were kind of frustrated coming into the first game because they were, expect them to play a little bit better, and they were kind of down on themselves because they didn't think they played as well as they should have. And, you know, we're sitting there telling them, hey, you know, we're sitting here, I think it's 34-0 at half or 33-0 at half. They're mad. She's kind of griping a little bit about some things we're doing, and we're like, okay, you know, it's 33-0, and we're kind of angry on some things that we're not doing right that we got fixed. So that's a pretty good sign.
That is a real good sign, and as a coach, that has to be about one of the most satisfying things that you can have when your team's up big at half, but they're not even paying attention to the score.
No, absolutely, and we preach that all the time. You know, scoreboard's always 0-0 no matter, you know, what time it is or what the score is, so... And, you know, that's how we play.
Now, Paul, you said some little things. If you don't mind, what would be one of those little things that you didn't do well when you scored every time you had the ball and didn't allow a point?
You know, we missed some blocking assignments. And, you know, the backs missed some holes. And you know, some of the ways that they're running there, we got to get some of that stuff fixed. We got some drills. We'll take care of that this week. But, you know, a few mistakes with not pulling at the right time and taking the wrong steps, and those little things that, yeah.
Talking with Paul Watson, the head coach of Nokomis, coming off of that 54-0 win last night over Sullivan Ocall Valley. And obviously when you have a performance like that, it is a team effort. But I know Landon Engelman, he found the end zone quite a lot.
Yeah, he did. He ended up with about 203 yards, three touchdowns, you know, and so he had a good night. He ran the ball 17 times, and that's our thing. We like to spread the ball around. So Matthew Hill ran the ball 10 times for 70, and Jake Watson ran it 10 times for 73 yards. And then our other backup is actually Jake Johnson, who is playing tight end because our starting tight end was out with COVID, which he'll be back for next week. So we're looking forward to getting him back.
We've talked about Jake Johnson before, though. He's just one of those kids. He might be able to play any position on the field.
That's true. He can play tight end. He can play lineman. Heck, he can probably play center if we ask him to. So he's all over.
And, Paul, when you dominate a game like you did last night, it's the line of scrimmage. You don't dominate a game like that without owning both sides of the ball on the line.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, we lost our left side of our line last year to graduation, and you know, Ryan Eisenbarth and Mason Morris and Connor Wilson stepped in there. Those three filled those spots for us last night. You know, and it was their first varsity game that has positions, and you know, they're learning, and they're just going to keep getting better.
And offensive line's a rough spot, right? Because if you do your job, people kind of just forget about you. But the minute that the running back's blown up in the backfield or the quarterback's on his back, oh, what's wrong with the O-line? So when they do great, you got to give them the pub and you got to give them the attention.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I mean, you got Caden Cook and Wyatt Dooley and Tanner Woolard on the other side of the line that, you know, they've been there for the last couple of years. And like you said, where our backs are, we call them glory outs because they get all the glory in the linemen up front. They don't get much press at all.
Talk to me about kind of the practice. Like, you talked about the mentality last night in the locker room at halftime. I can only imagine in practice when you've got your ones going against each other as much as you can, I bet that gets pretty fired up.
Well, and we've got to kind of pull them back because, you know, this group likes to hit. So, you know, we can't let them go full go all the time or we're probably going to hurt each other. So, you know, we got a good senior class and they're great leaders and, you know, they hold each other accountable, and, you know, we preach that all the time about, you know, we'll hold you accountable, you hold us accountable. So, you know, they lead by example and do a great job with it.
And Paul, we all know full well every game this year is not going to go like it did last night in terms of the score. At some point, there's going to be one of those physical heavyweight fights, and the mentality that your club has, they're going to be ready for that fight.
Absolutely, and you know, we preach, you know, we got to stay hungry and keep going after it and have a short-term memory. So, you know, like I said, this coming week we got Central A&M. They've got them ranked at number one in the AP. So, you know, it's going to test us, and we're going to be a good challenge to see where we're at.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the state rankings, especially this early with everything that's going on, who knows? But number one is number one, and so you got a golden opportunity to really make a big-time statement.
Damn it, thing, you know, as far as, you know, we don't have too much pressure on us. Mm-hmm. You know, the pressure's on them. We can go over there and we play loose and just, you know, compete and see where we're at the end of the game.
You mentioned you'll get a lineman back from COVID. Other than that, did you come out healthy last night?
Yeah, we did. We didn't have any injuries or anything, so we're good to go.
Awesome. Paul Watson, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. Congratulations on the great win. And yeah, get those little things shirt up, would you? Come on.
Will do. Appreciate the call.
All right, Paul Watson with Nokomis. And you know that's it's a strange spot for any coach, but especially a football coach, where the quote-unquote perfect game, it doesn't exist. And Nokomis didn't play a perfect game last night, but you scored every time you had the ball. You didn't allow a point. And Paul Watson, you heard him say, he thinks they had one penalty. That if that's not perfect, I don't know what is. That's as good as it gets for Nokomis starting off the year. But they will get top-ranked Central A&M next week, and that will be a fantastic test for Nokomis. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Hillsboro Hilltopper coach Joe Reed when Sports Saturday rolls on. A note concerning Staunton. Of course, we had Austin Scherfe on the program last week talking about, of course, the Bulldogs had to forfeit their game with Southwestern. He was hopeful that they would get clearance from the IHSA to have a Sunday practice to allow them to have the correct number of practices to play this coming week. The IHSA punted. They said, well, that's going to be a local decision. So they went to the Staunton School Board, and they voted against it. And the reasoning, it's hard to argue against it, that Staunton will still be in the adaptive pause on Sunday. So they did not get permission to practice on Sunday. So now the hope is that they'll maybe be able to move the game against Litchfield, scheduled for Friday, to next Saturday. We'll see. So still a lot unknown with the Staunton situation, but they did not get the clearance to have a practice on Sunday. Some other scores for you from last night in the WIVC. North versus South. Greenfield Northwestern beat Beardstown 42-13. Camp Point Central over Carrollton 30-22. Brown County beat Calhoun 18-12. West Central top Triopia 8-6. And Minden Unity beat North Green 58-0. In the South Central Conference last night, Hillsboro made the trek over to Bond County. The Comets knocked off the Toppers 28-14, and Hillsboro head coach Joe Reed joins us on the program this morning. And, Coach, thank you for a few minutes of your time. Just kind of your overall thoughts on your first game as a head coach.
Well, you kind of lose sight or you forget, I guess, some of the things it takes as far as getting ready. And one of the things I think I need to change, we need to get there a little earlier, so that's one thing. But outside of that.
Was there a slight transportation issue?
No. I just probably need a little more time for setup and things like that. You know, being an assistant is quite a bit different than being a head coach,
right,
especially when you're trying to get your kids ready. So, it's funny, you know, watching the film back, and after the game, you always think it's bad or whatever, but it's never really quite as bad as you thought, or but it's usually never as good as you hope either. So that's kind of where we're at right now with it.
You know, Joe, when I think about the game last night, a lot of times a football game can come down to a sequence, right? 7-0 first half. You guys drive all the way down to the 5, get no points. Greenville goes 95 yards and gets a score. That could be backbreaking.
Yeah, that was a huge turning point in the game. You know, we went down there, got inside the 10 in the red zone, and, not coming away with points, I think, shows a little bit of our not necessarily our youth, but our youth as far as, a new system and things like that. So not getting any points there hurt. And then, you know, obviously the breakdown on defense, it could have been catastrophic for us. But, the kids really actually were pretty resilient with it. And, we ended up fighting back in that second quarter to get one on the board. So.
And you guys stayed right in that ball game, really all the way through most of the fourth quarter. And for you in week one, that had to just be fantastic to see that resiliency.
Yeah, you know, obviously our goal is obviously always to win.
Right.
But, there were absolutely a lot of positives. I thought that I thought our quarterback and really, you know, our offensive line showed a lot of grit there late in the second half. And, I thought that's really what kind of kept us in the ball game. And then, just a couple, little things, some alignment things, You know, those are the things you hope that don't come up and bite you. But, you know, when you're running through quick, putting a new system in on both sides of the ball, you know, those are the things that you gotta kind of live with early and keep in mind that it's a marathon, not really a sprint. So, you know, those are some of the things that we're gonna correct. So.
And it's the same thing every year in the first week. There's going to be little things that happen that will get corrected. But is that even a little bit more so this year, just with all the different stuff that goes around outside of football now?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thought of not, you know, maybe your game being taken away from you on a Wednesday or on a Thursday or whatever, and not necessarily knowing, you know, maybe an opponent that you're playing has to be shut down or whatever. So, you know, those on top of just the football things, definitely, you know, adds, you know, a challenge, to the week. But, you know, the best thing, I guess, you know, we can do is kind of focus on us and just move forward and try and get better as a team for ourselves. So.
And it sounds like you guys were able to kind of get your identity established in the early stages in terms of, we want to be a physical football team that controls the line.
Yeah, I think looking back, you know, at the film, probably too many times I've watched it already, but looking back at it, you know, our opening drives, though, are what really kind of was a frustrating point that we're going to kind of work out, I think. But I think you're right. We settled in. I actually thought we kind of started getting in a rhythm. And then, you know, there's a couple penalties that, you know, just kind of with the way we play just kind of killed us. I mean, Kaiser broke two runs, one being a touchdown, and both of them got called back for him. So, unfortunately for him, that hurt his stat line.
Right.
But, you know, it's just, that's just part of the game. And, you know, those are little things that, you know, we got to clean up. And, you know, like I said, I thought the rhythm, you know, got there, especially late, like into that second quarter and then even late in the third. So, you know, the things we can build on and, you know, correct those little mistakes and, you know, hopefully we can turn it around.
Defensively, I mean, you guys played solid. It sounded like Peyton McCullough, he was just a tough cover last night.
He really was. You know, hats off to, you know, Coach Hutchinson and Coach Cantrell. I thought their kids played awesome, and, you know, they made some great plays, and, you know, they got some good players. So they gave us some fits in coverage, and, again, we had some alignment issues, and just, again, a lot of it's communication, and, you know, that's something we got to work on the defensive side between our safeties and corners. And they took advantage of it, and like I said, they did a great job of, you know, finding the matchups and taking advantage. So hats off to them, and you know, they're a good football team.
Did you come out healthy last night?
We did. We did. No, just minor cuts and scrapes, as far as I know at this point. So yeah, happy with that. Obviously, now we can kind of refocus and get ready for Pena. So,
and of course, Pena's kind of the odds-on favorite in the conference. Early thoughts on the Panthers?
Yeah, their game last night. You know, they create a lot of explosive plays. You know, their defense. They got some speed on the defensive side of the ball, and you know, we're going to have to take advantage of, you know, possibly our size and, you know, and just make sure that we're keeping their offense off the field because, you know, they got some weapons.
Joe, I'm always interested because, you know, it's always a balance of, you know, worrying about you, but you still have the game plan for the opponent, especially in the game of football. But you alluded to it. In a year where the opponent could change on a Wednesday or a Thursday, will you spend less time preparing for a specific opponent, per se, and a lot more time than you might normally would just working on your fundamentals and things?
That's a great question. I would say, with my unfamiliarity with the entire conference, that I kind of got to spend the time on the opponents because, you know, not familiar with what they do. So I don't really have, you know, I can't really just focus on us. I got to kind of focus on the opponent as well and, you know, try and get familiar with them and, you know, learn their schemes and things like that. So for me, yeah, it's a challenge, but, you know, that's something you got to balance and figure out. I mean, yeah, I think you got to focus on you, but on your team. But for me, for our staff, it's the, you know, we got three guys on staff that have been here, so we're leaning on them pretty hard to tell us about some of these teams. So.
Yeah. And you almost need like 26, 28 hours in a day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Joe Reed, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning, sir. We look forward to our chat next week.
Hey, real quick, I just want to wish Nathan Gruel a healthy recovery. I think he got a good diagnosis last night. I know he went out early in the game, but that kid's a heck of a football player, and I hope he gets back for him. So.
Absolutely. All right, Joe Reed, thank you very much. Okay. And yeah, you just. Especially, you know, when you get to be a senior, you get hurt early, and then he gets back. Will he be 100% or close to the rest of the year? But yeah, we certainly wish Nathan Gruel a speedy recovery for the Greenville Comets. We're going to catch up with Southwestern coach Pat Keith in just a moment here on Sports Saturday on the other side of the break. Of course, the Piasaw Birds did not play last night. They got the forfeit win over Staunton, but we will talk with Pat Keith about the Piasaw Birds coming off of that strong spring season. And of course, they had a chance to play a game in week one, had some opponents inquire, but they made the decision, hey, a win is a win. And for our program, we're thinking six to get into the postseason. So we will talk to Pat Keith about that when Sports Saturday continues.
9:29 right here on FM 106 WSMI. Once again, some sponsors for your Sports Saturday program right here on FM 106. Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield. Huff Funeral Homes in Hillsboro, Raymond and Farmersville. And Prairie Town Feed Service. Once again, here's WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you, Jen. And, hey, thank you to all of our sponsors. Our sponsors are our lifeblood. Without our sponsors, we don't exist. So thank you very much for the sponsorship of everything sports-related here at WSMI. As we do as much as we can, but we got to have the sponsorship to do it. So any sponsor you hear, whether it be here on Sports Saturday or on our high school sports, just think about that. And when you need something, go use their business, because it's a circle, right? We all gotta help each other out, and just shop local and just keep it in our small community so we can keep things thriving and bringing you as much high school sports as we possibly can here on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Carbonville at Gibson City, Melvin Sibley today, live at 1:45. And then Gillespie at Litchfield live tonight, 6:45. Both games on WSMI FM 106.1, and they will stream online at WSMIRadio.com. Pat Keith joins us on the phone right now, the head coach of Southwestern. And, Coach, how you doing this morning?
Good, Tim. How you doing?
Hey, doing fantastic. It had to be kind of an odd feeling to not have a game last night.
Yeah, it was a different feeling, obviously, not to have a game last night. It's just kind of the way the years went, and the season so far is like last spring now, so it's just one of those things.
Talk to me about the decision, because I know there was opportunities for you to pick up a game, but from what I understood, and I agree with it, hey, a win is a win, and for our program, the playoffs are a monstrous deal.
Yeah, I think, it was a tough decision, obviously. But I think, part of the decision was to stay healthy, for one. And number two, just in our conference, we're in a good football conference, and this year, with an open day, that's going to make a difference for points if we have the opportunity to make a playoff run this year to get in the playoffs. So any opportunity we have to get a win and stay healthy, I think is probably our best option. Obviously, we don't want to necessarily lose a game, so our kids don't have an opportunity to play. But like I said, again, with the conference being open this year, normally in the South Central with a closed conference, 5 wins, and I guarantee you 40 points, and normally, that gets you in the playoffs. But this year, a little different, playing a non-conference opponent, and so the opportunity, I hate to say that Staunton couldn't play, but it's just a decision made, and we're moving on and ready to turn the rest of the week.
Talk to me about what you guys did last week. It would have been a normal game week. Was it an extra week of preseason practice? How did you approach that?
We treated it just like it was a game week, honestly. And then obviously last week was a little different, probably for everybody with the heat and seat being high, so we had a practice a little late, so that made a difference too. But we treated it just like a game week, and it is tough for kids. We have an extra week of practice normally, because that's about 5 weeks for a play game. But once again, anytime you can get extra practice to get a little better, it's going to help us in the long run. So, like I said again, we're past that point now, so we're moving on and getting ready for certain lessons.
Did you have to rein them in a little bit that game week of practice? Because they were ready to hit somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's obvious. Anytime you send anybody, obviously, but yeah, they're ready to play somebody different. And, you know, so we're looking forward to this Friday. And I'm kind of our kids have been working hard and then focusing on all the things we need to focus on. So hopefully we'll be prepared this Friday and get ready for week two.
Of course, we know what you guys did in the spring season, and it's front of mind because it wasn't that long ago, but it doesn't matter. It's over. So how has the mentality been for the kids that are back from that squad wanting to repeat it?
Yeah, I think it's a step in the right direction. And, you know, we just keep preaching the kids. We just keep, you know, taking steps forward and keep improving and put ourselves in a week in, week out competitive and opportunity to win a conference football game. Like I said, I still feel, you know, being this is my, I think my 14th year, maybe I'm almost there, but in the conference and, it's just a really good high school football conference. So every week's a tough week for us. And so we have to be prepared and all the good coaches in our conference and programs. So there's no giving for sure. But last year was a good step in the direction for our program. I think we're just a little bit of confidence and then, you know, kind of buying into what we're doing now since it's our fourth season there and my coaching staff. So I think last spring was a good stepping stone. But now we just need to maintain that and keep that momentum going forward.
So much of football comes down to the line of scrimmage. If you win the point of attack, you're going to have a lot of success. So talk to me about your big boys up front.
Yeah, we had a lot of seniors graduate from the front line, but I'll be honest, we have some guys that were back up last year, some guys that played different positions, so a couple, one of our tight end moved to a guard position, so we have some guys willing to do those things, and I think we'll be good up front, and, you know, it's just going to be a new experience for them, but we got some nice backs in the backfield, and like I said, you know, we have good kids here at Southwestern, and I'm proud of them, so, you know, hopefully they'll think, you know, just keep getting better each week, and you definitely have those tough to replace those five linemen, but we can do it.
Well, in fact, we talked a couple of years ago, shortly after you took the job, about how the Southwestern football program, it was always strange to me because the athletes are there. The athleticism is there, but it hadn't translated to football consistently. Do you feel like in your time there that you're seeing that start to turn now?
I think it's always been there. I think it's always been a good program. Like I said, I know I sound like I keep saying it over and over again, but it's a football conference. And I feel like, yeah, I think now, I just think it takes, I mean, any time, I don't think Southwestern necessarily struggled, but, you know, just it takes some time to get to that point where you have some success. And once you have that success or that tradition that kind of carries on, then things not get easier, but it's just the expectation, you know. And so we need to get to that point. Hopefully we'll have keep having spring seasons and make a playoff. You know, get a playoff game and possibly win a game in the playoffs. You know, those type of steps are the steps you got to take in order for a program to keep getting better and better and better.
And you're 1,000% right about the South Central Conference. I mean, when it's a closed league, Carlinville, Pena, Greenville, it's like, well, shoot, right there, that could be three on the L side in the blink of an eye, you know, year in, year out.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, that's for sure. And then, you know, it's just Hillsboro. You know, Litchfield obviously is down a little right now with numbers, but they're always a good program. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of programs like Vandalia, you know, it's just a good football conference. So, starting in Gillespie. So, like I said, I think it's just getting yourself in the right mindset and our kids preparing the right way and kind of just understanding that we have an opportunity to win, believing in what we're doing and then believing in the fact that every Friday, no matter who we play, we have an opportunity to win.
Pat Keith, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. We look forward to seeing the Piasau Birds on the field next week.
I appreciate the coverage, Tim. Thanks a lot.
All right, Pat Keith with Southwestern, and I'm on board with the decision. You know, to each their own. Every school's in a different spot, right? So you think about Williamsville. They had their game with Porta canceled midweek. They found an opponent out of Wisconsin and went up to La Salle, Peru to play, took the loss. But we're talking about Williamsville, you know, I mean, perennial power defending champs. That's their situation. You look at Southwestern's situation. If they take a game, lose the game, wind up 5-4, 2 points shy of playoff eligibility, what do you think people would say? Well, you had the win in week one and you didn't take it. So, I mean, you know, everybody has to do what's best for their program. And in Southwestern's spot, taking the win, you know, through no fault of their own, they didn't cause this. They were, Staunton was up, Staunton couldn't play, they got the win, and they wind up in the playoffs. Well, everybody will be happy about that decision. Let's run down some more scores for you, shall we? Central State 8 last night, Rochester beat Jacksonville 56-21. SHG over Lanphier 61-7. Springfield High beat Glenwood 39-36. I think I saw that was Springfield's first win since 2011 against Glenwood. Southeast topped Eisenhower 19-14. MacArthur over Normal U-High 50-9. Mississippi Valley last night. Now, the Mississippi Valley, Apollo, and Cahokia, Mississippi were all non-conference games last night. So Jersey beat Granite City 49-0. Civic Memorial over Alton 48-7. Washington beat Highland 30-20. Breeze Modern Day topped Waterloo 31-13. Muscoota bested Columbia 42-14. And Triad over Mattoon 26-13. In the Apollo, Taylorville blanked Mount Vernon 13-0 the final. Lincoln over Clinton 58-6. St. Teresa beat Effingham 42-7, and Mount Zion winners over Bartonville Limestone 44-13. In the Cahokia, Mississippi, of course, this is where Roxana has landed. That's the reason the South Central Conference is not closed this year. Eureka beat the Shells last night 49-20. Wood River winners over Madison 12-6. Breeze Central beat Trenton Westland 50-7. Muscoota over Columbia 42-14. Freeburg beat Sparta 56-6. And Centralia topped Salem 35-28. Now, game of the night, this isn't official, this is just my opinion. Triple overtime. Murfreesboro beats Carbondale 46-43. Not a bad week one game right there. And then an 8-man football last night, it was Martinsville over Pawnee 43-28. Coming up today, South Central. We're going to have both of these games live on WSMI. Carletonville at Gibson City, Melvin Sibley, 2 o'clock kick, coverage at 1:45. Gillespie at Litchfield, 7 o'clock kick, coverage at 6:45. Both will be live on WSMI FM 106.1 and online at WSMIRadio.com. Elsewhere around the area today in Sangamo Conference play, Riverton will be at North Mac. That'll be a 7 o'clock kick this evening. That game, of course, pushed back from last night to tonight because of some quarantine complications. We'll have North Mac head coach Pat Bowman on the program here in a few moments. WIVC action today. Pleasant Hill will be at Jacksonville route. That will be a 1 o'clock kick. It is a big day for high school volleyball and for boys soccer. In volleyball today, you got the Carletonville Classic, the Cavaliers taking on West Glen. That game actually started at 9 o'clock this morning. Carrollton will face Athens at 10. Then at 11, you'll have the third place game, championship match set for noon. And as Carletonville often does here, they've got a JV tournament running on the same time schedule in the middle school gym. And Carletonville's sneaky with that, right? Like, you don't think about it like at the Carletonville Holiday Tournament. They're running a boys and a girls tournament at the same time. And here they are running a JV tournament at the same time as a varsity tournament. That's just, you know, it's a great opportunity for the JV kids to get that tournament type of feel. 12th annual Lady Shell Invitational is underway at Roxana as Gillespie and Bunker Hill. Their match began at 9 o'clock. That is a 13th place bracket semifinal. Mount Olive will play Brussels at 10. The winners will play for 13th place at noon. The losers will square off at 11 for 15th place. Now, the championship bracket at Roxana, Alton Marquette will face Civic Memorial. That's at 11. Auburn takes on Jerseyville at noon. The third place match will be at 1. Championship match set for 2 o'clock. That will all go down in the high school gym. The fifth place bracket in the junior high gymnasium, Wood River and Roxana at 11. Calhoun and Father McGivney at noon. Then the 7th place and 5th place games will follow at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock in the junior high gym. Southwestern playing in the 9th place bracket. They are facing Granite City right now in the auxiliary gym. If the Birds win, they'll play for 9th place at 10. If they lose, they will play for 11th at the Lady Shell Invitational. That is a fantastic, fantastic early season volleyball tournament. Boys soccer today and the kickoff classic on Route 66. Carletonville and North Mac have teamed up all turf. Every game played on the turf here in the kickoff classic on Route 66. And at Carletonville right now, the Cavies taking on Springfield Lutheran. Litchfield will play back-to-back. They face Athens at 11, Lutheran at 1:30. And then Carletonville and Athens will play at 3:30. All four of those games at Carletonville High School. At North Mac High School right now, the Panthers are facing Lincolnwood, and then Lincolnwood going to take on Hillsboro at 11 o'clock in Verdon. regular season soccer today. You've got Pena at Pleasant Plains, that beginning at 10. Greenville involved in the T-Town St. Anthony tournament playing Altamont right now. They'll face Salem coming up at noon. In terms of golf, Litchfield is over at the Greenview Invite at the Country Hill Golf Club today. Cross country, first to the finish at SIUE. That's always a big cross country meet. Of course, Staunton was scheduled to run there, but they had all their athletics shut down, and we certainly hope that Staunton will get the all clear here by the start of next week so they can get back to going. And it's just, you've heard some of the coaches talk about it. You gotta deal with it. It's such an unknown. It's endlessly frustrating. You know, I mean, there's nothing any of us can do about it. You just basically wait on pins and needles to see what's going to happen next. What's going to happen next right now is we're going to take a break. Got to pay the bills. So we're going to do that when we come back. And I can't believe I just dropped that cheesy radio line. Got to keep the lights on. Got to pay the bills. Can't believe I just did that. I'm ashamed of myself. We'll take a break. We'll come back with Patrick Bowman following these messages on WSMI.
9:48 right here at FM 106. Once again, you're tuned into the Sports Saturday program being sponsored this morning by Hillsborough Area Hospital. It's your front door to a world of healthcare. Garrell's Auto Body and Repair in Litchfield, Litchfield National Bank, and Woods Basement Systems. Once again, we're rejoining WSMI's Tim Mize.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. Hey, right now, out at Shoal Creek, the Lincoln Wood Team Tournament is going on. Of course, big fundraiser for the Lincoln Wood Athletic Department. You know, they've got such nice facilities and uniforms, all the different stuff, right? Just the little things that make a program nice. Lincoln Wood's got them. And this is one of the big reasons why. And that's the team tournament happening right now at Shoal Creek. And it doesn't just happen by itself, does it? Takes a village, I guess, as they would say. And that'll be a big, big day. Hot. Unfortunately, it's hot. But you know, Terry Tote, he would always say he wasn't a golfer, but when he did play golf, he would go on the hottest day of the year. Him and Randy Pringy would go play golf on the hottest day of the year. That was just their thing. Why? I don't know. Going to be a hot football game tonight for the North Mac Panthers as they will host Riverton. And on the phone right now is their head coach, Pat Bowman. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning. How's it going?
Well, it's going all right. Now, when I emailed you earlier in the week to see if you could be on the program, I thought we would be talking about a ball game. But
yeah,
things changed.
You and I both.
just take us through the process there. What happened?
Thursday, as we were walking on the field, I got a call from our office there, the athletic director, and he told me, "Hey, he's sitting down." He's like, "We've got a problem." Mm. So he said, "I don't know how many, but a lot of your guys have been exposed, supposedly."
Mm.
So at that same moment, lightning and the sunshine, and immediately it was lightning. We had to go inside anyway. So I got a chance to talk to everybody, and it was extremely hard conversation to have because we didn't know then who and how many. So when you have to sit kids down and say, "Hey, we thought this was over, and now I just got a call. We've been exposed, and I don't know who and I don't know how many." But you can see the air knocked out of them immediately in the locker room.
I guess then the next question would be, one day from last night to tonight, what's changed?
Nothing really changed except we were given a list of what players supposedly aren't quarantined and which ones are. So right now we're at some positions that some younger guys are going to have to step up. I think according to the school, we've got 15 players on our roster that aren't supposed to suit up tonight, according to the school.
Yeah, that's a big number. And you alluded to the tough conversation. And so much of coaching, especially in high school, it's relationships. And so, I mean, when you see the pain on those kids' faces, it has to just tear you up.
Oh, it's the worst thing you could imagine. I told people I wish I could video that, and maybe we could wake some people up on what really quarantine does to kids, because I don't think everybody understands it.
And exactly right. And, I mean, everybody just wants this to be behind us. But, I mean, it is what it is. But, my gosh, when you see the way that it affected Staunton, you see, you know, Williamsville had to go play a school from Wisconsin last night, for goodness sakes. I mean, it's I don't know what the right answer is, but as you said, quarantines for kids, that is a rough, rough pill.
It is. It is very hard on all of them. And even the ones that aren't, they see their teammates. Football's a pretty special sport. Mm-hmm. It's like a brotherhood, and they've got each other's backs. And when your brother's not there with you, it's a different story.
And with that in mind, I would sure anticipate that North Mac is going to be flying to the football tonight.
I hope so. That's our plan anyway. So we scooted this game back to 7 p.m. for everything to hopefully get straightened out as much as possible. And 7 o'clock kickoff, we'll be ready to go.
So what'd you do last night?
Last night we had practice. So we had practice to make sure we get everything figured out and get a lot of that stuff kind of calmed down, we hope. And we just went from there. So we did practice.
As you've prepared for Riverton here, what would be some of the keys for you guys tonight?
Good thing for us, it's first game. So right now everybody is in the unknown. You don't know much about the other team. They don't know much about you. So it's just hard-nosed football. It's going to be humid. So we got a lot of guys who are going to have to play a lot if our other players aren't in uniform. So we just got to give it our all and keep each other fresh as we can.
I guess if there's one draw, you know, downside to having turf, it'll be hotter.
It is. It is. And you can tell as soon as you walk on there, especially with the afternoon, evening practices, you can tell a big difference.
Talking with Patrick Bowman, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, as they will take on Riverton tonight at 7 o'clock. And the spring season means nothing because it's over. But have you felt any type of carryover to where it's like, okay, let's just keep it going?
Definitely. When we came in day one, we remembered so much. We retained so much information with it not being that long ago. So that was a big plus for us. And we had so many guys that are back this season. And that helps, too. We had a lot of guys that have experience. So much more efficient practices, for sure.
You know, situations like this, they can bring teams together. You know, North Mac goes out tonight, plays a solid game, and then all of a sudden, hey, we're getting 15 kids back for next week.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We've got, like you said, it brings them together. No matter what happens, they've got each other's back. And that's what I told them the other day. I said, whatever happens, let's make us stronger and a better team, and we'll get by it.
Pat, good luck tonight, sir.
Hey, thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too. That is Patrick Bowman, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers. So there's the situation. Found out on Thursday, walking onto the practice field. And some things you can't just make up, right? Nice sunny day, strolling out to the practice field, getting ready to play a game the next day. You get that call, here comes a thunderstorm. Appropriately sums it up, probably. And you could hear the frustration, right? And I think Patrick Bowman, probably those frustrations are the frustrations of a lot of, you know, coaches across the state, across the country, perhaps, you know, to where you can't, when there's things you can't control, it is endlessly frustrating. And when those things you can't control drastically alter your season, oh, I mean, it's brutal. I mean, think about Staunton, all the work they put in, boom, quarantined, you know, North Mac, boom, game delayed, Williamsville, boom, you got to go play a school from Wisconsin, because Porta had some issues. And this is just week one. This is just week one. What in the world is going to happen moving forward? We're still uncertain about what Litchfield and Staunton's game for week two will turn out to be. After Staunton didn't get permission to practice on Sunday, they're hoping they'll be able to move that game to Saturday. And you wouldn't think that would be a problem. Getting the officials obviously will be the number one priority there. But it's going to be a fluid situation all year, isn't it? I mean, the call that Chris Rayner made to Patrick Bowman, that's going to be far from the last call that an AD has to make to his football coach to deliver that type of news. But can we get to the postseason? I don't know. I mean, I sure hope so. Goodness gracious, for everyone. You know, we need a football playoff. But that's a long way away, right? We talk about the football season, 9 weeks being the fastest 9 weeks in sports. And I've always thought that it flies by, but I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. Every day it's going to be pins and needles. You heard Joe Reed allude to it. You just don't know on a Wednesday or a Thursday. It could even happen on a Friday, right before kickoff. Sorry, can't play. And everybody has that cloud just hanging over their collective heads right now. So hopefully it will all end well, and if we can get 9 weeks of football in a full postseason. Hopefully, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, it's ready to roll. But there's a lot of hurdles between now and then. High school football on the radio today. Carla DeVille traveling to Gibson City, Melvin Sibley. Live coverage will begin at 1:45 on FM 106. And then tonight, Gillespie at Litchfield. Live coverage at 6:45, also on FM 106.1, both streaming at WUSMIRadio.com. And boy, I'm excited for Litchfield, right? They didn't play in the spring. They got Dan Carlson in. And just the conversations I've had with people at Litchfield and talking with Coach Carlson, it seems to me that they've turned a corner with the football program. I mean, there were some dark times there, you know, a four-year period where it was as dark as it can get in terms of high school football. But it just, I don't know, I just get the sense, and I don't know what the record's going to be this year. I have no earthly idea. But I think that the culture and the mentality is on the right track at Litchfield, and they will get it underway tonight. And, you know, that's one thing about the Litchfield football program. It doesn't matter what the record was. Lloyd Hill Field packed and rocking on Friday nights. That has been a consistent thing as long as I've been at WUSMI, and it'll be no different tonight. And it'll be good to see the Purple Panthers back on the gridiron. They will take on the Gillespie Miners, and that'll be a fun ball game. Fighting Illini football today as well. Nebraska coming into Champaign. That'll get underway in about an hour, 11 o'clock, over on WAOX 105.3. The Ox, as Brett Bielema begins his Illini tenure today, hosting Nebraska. Nebraska, they got, talk about falling from the mountaintop, right? They have just imploded since Scott Frost arrived, and we'll see if Illinois can get off on the right foot this morning when they kick it off at 11 o'clock. That is it for Sports Saturday here on WUSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. Thank you very much to Paul Watson, Joe Reed, Pat Keith, and Patrick Bowman for joining us here this morning on Sports Saturday. Again, Carthenville, Gibson City kicking at 2, live at 1:45. Gillespie, Litchfield kicking at 7, live at 6:45. Both games right here on FM 106.1 and online at WUSMIRadio.com.